The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you this morning. It's January the 4th, Wednesday, and this is actually our first show of the new year of 2017. We, like the PGA Tour, kind of have a wraparound season. And so we've been kind of off for the last week or 10 days and for the holidays. And we're happy to be back with you. We've got a great show coming your way. Paul Stankowski, our good friend, PGA Tour veteran, will be joining us here momentarily. He also is a previous winner of the Hawaiian Open in its reincarnation now, the SBS Tournament of Champions is at Kapalua, but Paul very familiar with playing out on the islands and what that takes to play on the islands and the trade winds and all the other things that the guys have to play and put up with. We'll be seeing coming up here in this tournament, the SBS Tournament of Champions, some of the top golfers in the world, including world number one, Jason Day. Seems like we haven't seen him in forever. And defending champion Jordan Spieth, just among a couple of the guys that will be playing. And a little bit later on, Laura Bryna, our good friend from Los Angeles, did another interview for us. This one was with Gordon Goodwin. He's a Grammy Award-winning composer, writer. He's been all over soundtracks from movies and TV and has a big band sound. If you're ever in L.A. or have a chance to hear him, he's a phenomenal musician. We'll be talking and hearing from Gordon Goodwin coming up in just a little bit. Again, I'm coming to you from the Dallas studios, as always, and our good friend, partner, Frank Bassett is with us in the Nashville studios. How's everything in Nashville this morning, Frank?
It's great. Nashville's great.
Everything good?
It's cold.
Good.
It's really cold. We've got snow coming. Yippee. I'm out of here.
Really?
I'm out of here. Yeah. I'm done.
Just as you're moving, too. I mean, you're in the middle of moving from one house to another. Not really what you want to be doing in the middle of really cold Arctic air coming, is it?
No. Moving up toward the lake, getting a little north of Nashville to get lakes out on Old Hickory or close to it, whatever.
Cool.
And but I'm not going to be moving yet. We're remodeling up there. I should say rebuilding the whole place. So wow,
going to take a while.
Yeah, it is. I'm meeting with three different groups this afternoon at the house you take your wallet and you just dump it all out. Just say here, just take everything I have, and then ask for more later. It's like HGTV anyway.
It'll be awfully nice when it's finally done. It's just the process of getting there. It seems like it's forever, like no light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
but eventually it'll be done, and you'll be so happy.
You had to put it with me yesterday. I was quizzing you on what you and your wife have done with all of your new appliances and your new remodeling what brand's good. We don't want to say a brand on here because we did hear some horror stories about one brand. So I was panicking because I just made a commitment to buy all these expensive appliances. And oh, my gosh.
Just do your research. That's our advice, right? Do your research.
Right.
It's out there. All the information's out there. People can figure out what they want to pick and choose. But, yeah, it's not an inexpensive world anymore of getting a washer and dryer. But I will say this, Frank, before we get to Paul Stankowski, I will say that the previous washer and dryer, my wife and I guess myself to some small degree, used that thing until it was like duct taped together, I think, at the very end. The washer and dryer we had for like 16 years. So you got to admit that even though they can be kind of expensive, there aren't many things you buy anymore that you keep for 15, 16 years.
Well,
so I was pretty happy with that.
I will just say that at French Lick Resort, by the way, I'll get into this later. We've got to call Paul. We'll just call him live. What do you think? Let's just dial him. And then we'll get into some of this later, and I'll tell you what happened. Let's dial Stankowski and see if we can wake him up.
That's right. You were at French Lick during the holidays for New Year's. So, yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back. If I don't wake Paul up here, we'll see.
Let's wake Paul up. Let's see what Paul's doing. This is always
fun. Hope he answers.
Yeah. Hope we don't get his recorder.
Yeah, I know.
I'm calling his house. Is that okay? Should I give this number out on the air?
Yeah, I should just throw it out there. What the heck?
Well, I thought we were going to get Paul.
Yeah,
hey, this is Paul Stankowski. I can't come to the phone right now. Leave a message, and I'll call you back.
Let's leave him a message.
Thanks.
Hey. Where's the beep? Come on.
Where's the beep? Hey, Stanky, you're supposed to be on the air with us right now. So we're leaving
call
you a message.
Call Tim's phone.
Call me. We will call you back in just a few minutes.
Bye.
See ya.
That's the way to start the new year. We thought we'd be funny dialing somebody cold like we did Laura over the holidays and woke her up and thought it would be fun. It's kind of like the old prank calls the morning radio shows did. But, that didn't work. So when he calls you, tell him we'll call him back.
We got pranked. Yeah, we got pranked.
We just got pranked by Stank. Pranked by Stank.
Let's
let me tell you while we've got a minute
here. French Lick.
Before we get into the new year of the wraparound season, French Lick, our sponsor, will be with us at the PGA Merchandise Show. Brendan Sweeney, Dave Harner, Director of Golf, Steve Ferguson, who's the CEO, Chairman of the Board of Cook Group out of Bloomington that owns the French Lick Resort, gave us a package for the holidays. A fabulous stay. Play. If I wanted to play golf, I could have played golf, but it was a little chilly. But we stayed at the West Baden Springs Hotel, gorgeous hotel. Went to the Fire and Ice Ball that night. You know who's calling me right now?
No.
Let's just bring him in. Here we go. I bet you that's Paul Stankowski on the phone, is it?
Speaking of Mr. French Lick. Paul.
Hey, you're live on the air, Paul.
What's up there, fellas?
Hey, how are you? We're not wasting any time talking to you before we get on the air. You're on the air. We're going.
We're going.
We move right along. Because you got a tight schedule. You got a conference call coming up a little bit, so we want to make sure we don't infringe on your business working there. So thanks for calling. Yeah, thanks for being with us. How was your new year?
The new year was nice and relaxing, actually. We had my in-laws came for a few days during Christmas Day for a couple days, and then New Year's, my daughter went into a friend's house, and my son and I and my wife hung out at the house and watched some TV, and I fell asleep at about 11:45 and woke up at about 12:10. So I slept right through the ball drop, but it was good. 2017, it's hard to believe, 17 years after. Remember 9/11? Or not 9/11, I'm sorry. Remember Y2K?
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. It was all going to come crashing down.
Coming to an end.
My computer still doesn't work. Is that what was wrong?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's Tim's well, Paul, computer.
Well, Paul, I got to think that in 97, and now this is 2017, did you not win the Hawaiian Open in 97? Was that 20 years ago?
Thanks for reminding me. Yes, it was 20 years ago.
There's another reference for you. Does it seem like time has just flown by there, or does it seem like it's been 20 years since you won that?
No, it is baffling. You know, I remember that day vividly, and you know, I remember I could see Jim Furyk four putt the 15th hole. I can see him missing his third putt, and I can envision all that, making a bomb on number 10 in the playoff and to stay alive. And it doesn't seem like 20 years ago, that's for sure. I remember going to Burger King afterwards. We pull up to the hotel in the limo with my caddy and to grab our stuff real quick. We were heading over to Kapalua to go marlin fishing the next day. And so on the way out of the hotel, we ran across the Burger King right there in Waikiki and grabbed some, ate Burger King in the limo on the way to the airport. I mean, those are the things that I remember like they were yesterday.
And I remember you telling the story too about a few years ago, you were telling me this, that, was it 18 hole is on the left side is covered by tall palm trees. And you had to hit your cut shot because you couldn't, really, and did you hit it over him, or you played it just right? Because it was a bit intimidating, wasn't it? Because you couldn't hit your normal shot that you wanted to play over there, so you had to kind of play right along those palm trees on the left. Am I right on that?
Yeah, no, you're correct. It's funny that my two wins on tour, the 18th holes, were dead dogleg left par fives. One of them over ginormous, I don't even know what kind of tree it was, but at Atlanta Country Club. And a fairway that is almost impossible for me to hit because I was going to drive it through the fairway because I couldn't draw a golf ball around the corner. And there at Wailea as well, big palm trees and bunkers on the left. You know, I could go over the palm trees, but I couldn't carry all the bunkers. So to fit a drive in there, I very rarely hit the fairway. I always seem to go through. But that year, I think I hit it in the first cut. I played the hole three times in the playoff, I think, and but yeah, very fortunate. And, you know, anytime you get to beat Jim Furyk, he was a pretty darn good player back in the day and, you know, 58 this year. So he's still pretty darn good, but, that was a good time. Good memory.
Hey, so I'm curious. Of course, we're talking about the start of the new 2017 PGA Tour season, and everybody that wants to play is at Kapalua and playing in the SBS Tournament Champions. So kind of restarting the new year here, in the wraparound season. So the commitment to playing in Hawaii for a lot of golfers, PGA Tour players, they don't want to. It's not worth it. It's a long trip. A lot of reasons they don't. Obviously, for a lot of reasons, it's a wonderful tournament to play in as well. What is the thinking, or what was your thinking on going over there and playing? You certainly won and loved it from that standpoint, but it is quite a commitment. Other than marlin fishing, it's quite a travel commitment and everything else to get over there, isn't it?
You know what? It's not that hard. I mean, they're not taking a boat. They're not swimming. And they sit on a big plane, and it's nice, and usually they're up in first class or business, and it's Hawaii, for crying out loud. I've never figured out why guys wouldn't go to the tournament champions, let alone the Sony. Now the golf course at Sony's, and it's flat. It's, you know, a lot of wind blows. It, you know, it's maybe there's an issue there. Kapalua is, I mean, they're completely different venues. Hilly, right. Kapalua with amazing views, and Wailea is the flattest golf course we play on the PGA Tour. But it's Hawaii, for crying out loud. You know, if I think if the most wives and most of the kids would never let their guy miss that tournament. It's a great place to start the year in January. And I don't know. I never figured out guys who didn't want to go. It seemed pretty silly to me.
We're talking again with Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour veteran, and talking also about the Tournament of Champions getting started here. What are you looking forward to in 2017? We're getting, I mean, again, it's wraparound, so we've already been into the season, if you will, but been a bit of a break. And for a lot of guys, the Jason Days and even Spieth and others, really haven't seen an awful lot of them, some international play, but not a lot of PGA Tour play for a lot of these guys. What are you looking forward to in 2017? What would you like to see happen?
You know, I'd like to see a pink golf ball win the Masters. I just read about Bubba, and I guess he switched golf balls. I've never heard of Volvic, but that's pretty interesting. A new golf ball out there, and they're talking about the fact that he may be playing a pink one or a camo-colored golf ball. So it's fun to see where golf has gone, and it's fun to see new companies emerge. But, you know, from a player standpoint, there's a lot of great stories. The tour's chock full of talent. You know, Jason Day and Jordan Spieth are no longer young kids anymore. There'll be some more young kids coming up behind them. I think every year we're going to see more and more good players coming off of the Web.com tour, coming out of college. It's golf's at a great spot. You know, I'm super excited to see Tiger Woods play. You know, and not only play, I want to see Tiger Woods compete. And will we get a little bit of Tiger of old? You know, not really sure, but I sure hope so. It'd be fun to watch him go toe to toe with Jason Day and Jordan Spieth, and maybe win one or two. He's such a mystery, and I think he's got he's still Tiger Woods. You know, his body's not the same as it once was. Anytime you have surgery on a body part, it's never the same. But I know he still has that killer instinct and that desire inside. The one thing that has changed, and I think the biggest thing that's changed, is the fact that the tour is not afraid of him anymore. The players aren't afraid of him. And so when it comes go time on a Sunday, even if Tiger's in the thick of things, everybody's going to be on the edge of their seat watching. I even think the players are going to be intrigued. Almost like when Tiger came out the first time. You know, nobody knew how good he was going to be. We thought we knew. We had an idea that this kid's going to be pretty good, but we didn't know how good, and he turned out to be pretty darn good.
You had a pretty good indication in his early years in 97, did you not, of how good this young little whippersnapper is going to end up being?
Yeah, I did. I had a feeling he was going to be pretty special. I forget the exact deal, but I predicted he'd win four times and $2 million his first year. That was my prediction, and I think he won five, but I can't be – positive, but I think he won $2 million. So, I mean, he hit so far, and but we didn't know how good. I mean, the guy was a magician. Not so much off the tee. I mean, he hit it a long way, but he was a magician from anywhere on the golf course to put the ball, maybe not right next to the pin, but in position. If he was way out of position off the tee, he found a way to get it back into position in the perfect spot. He had the flair for the dramatic, you know, the hole in one in Phoenix, the chip in it behind the green at Memorial after he flubbed it short. And then he chipped it again a few years later at Memorial on 16, or yeah, 16. And the chip in at the Masters where Nike Swoosh was hanging over the lip of the cup. His first tournament in Milwaukee, he makes a hole in one. And those are, I mean, he has that flair, the knack for doing something really cool. And as a player, it was fun to watch. You know, unfortunately, I didn't get to go toe-to-toe with him very often, definitely not down the stretch in tournaments. I wasn't even in his zip code come the weekend most of the time. But just playing in the same event and watching not only the fans when he would step onto the putting green or the driving range, but the players. The players watched. And I was sucked into that swing. I wanted to see what he was doing. And it was very impressive. And so now the tour is chock full of young players, great players. They're coming out of college with the gas pedal pinned to the floorboard, and they're going. They're not pacing themselves anymore. When I came out, guys pace themselves Thursday, Friday, and then drop the pedal on Saturday. And if they were in the hunt, they'd keep going. If not, they would, you know, tee off early Sunday and move on. Now guys are shooting so low and they're not afraid. Yeah. Golf's a lot of fun to watch now.
And one of the guys that everybody's eyes are on, and I know, I'm really curious about is, and we're talking about the Tournament of Champions, and some great pairings in the first round. Patrick Reed is playing with Jason Day, and Spieth is playing with Dustin Johnson. But Justin Thomas is playing with Hideki Matsuyama. Matsuyama has won his last, well, four of his last five starts. He's around the world, has won. And the one he didn't win, was the CIMB Classic. He came in second. So he's almost won five straight tournaments. He's as hot as anybody in the world, and we talk about it being international, much more international than the tournaments ever or the tour has ever been before. Do you expect Matsuyama to keep the heat on? Do you think he's going to have a phenomenal year this year?
I think so. I mean, he doesn't show any signs of letting go, and he's getting better and better. He came out on the scene as a young player as well, and he's got a really interesting golf swing. He pauses at the top of that swing, but he's got a lot of power, and you know, when the tour players play with confidence, and right now he's riding a wave where he thinks he's invincible, you feel like it's never going to end. But eventually it will, and he'll have a couple bad days and a miscut here or there. But there's no cut here at Kapalua. There's a short field. They play all 4 days, and he looks like he's ready to rock.
Yeah, it's going to be a phenomenal year, we hope, and we expect it will be, and it will get started in Hawaii. So,
Tim,
I can't wait.
Tim, I've got a player that I want Paul to speak to. Paul knows. We saw him win at the Conquistador Classic in Tucson. Ron Pampling. Ron's playing in this Tournament of Champions this year, Paul. Speak to that.
Yeah, Rod's playing really well.
Yeah, Rod, you know, he's a good player. And he's a perfect example of a PGA Tour player is capable of winning any week. And, you know, Rod won a couple times back in the 2000s and won at Bay Hill, I believe, and won at Castle Pines, and you know, had a nice little career going, and then slipped up and got a little injured, and his game kind of went south, and he floundered a little bit, and then found himself on the Web.com tour and trying to struggle to find his way back to the show, and struck gold, started playing good at the end of last year, and had a really good season, and voila, he wins.
Yeah.
And now as a 48-year-old exempt through the time he turns 50, and he'll be able to just go out to the Champions Tour and have a good old time. So Rod's a great player, doesn't hit the ball very far. So there's some golf courses that he's not going to win on, or he's going to have a real difficult time winning on, but competing against guys like Bubba and Dustin on courses that you can air it out. But anybody out there, if they can get hot with a putter and start hitting the iron shots in the right spot, and, you know, that little confidence thing in your head, man, when you think that you can do it, when you think you can, it's a lot easier.
Sure, it is. And Rod's a great story, though, because you know how he got into the Conquistador Classic in Tucson was by a computer glitch, an accident, too many players.
No, we're talking about, is it Vegas, Frank?
Vegas, yes. No,
Tucson.
No.
Yeah, it was Vegas.
I'm sorry, Vegas. I'm terribly sorry. Yeah. Vegas. Yeah. I'm okay. I'm looking at Tucson right in front of me on a document here. Sorry about that. Yeah, it was Vegas. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he got into that by a glitch.
Yeah, they expanded the field. They didn't mean to.
I don't know all the details about the fluky way he got in, but the fact is, you get in. John Daly got in as an alternate in the PGA in 1992, was it?
Yeah.
I think it was 92 or 93 or something, and put him on the map. And so you got to watch out for that guy who just gets in the last minute. And, next week, there'll be a first alternate getting into Hawaii, and you know, that's probably the most excited guy in the field because, you know, one minute he's not playing. He's made that trip all the way over there, and the next minute he's in. But no alternates this week at Kapalua. You know, a lot of great players on the stage, and it's fun. It's fun. January PGA Tour golf, good times.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I've got to apologize to our friends at the Shriners Hospitals for Children.
Sorry about that.
You know what? I listened to Lou Holtz and Fred Albers yesterday, and I'm sort of channeling my inner Lou Holtz because everything he said was wrong through the whole show. Okay, Lou was wrong on everything, and Fred kept correcting him. No, he won three times, and Hal Irwin won three times. It was hilarious.
Frank is our Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
We'll just keep figuring
Sorry
it out.
Hey,
Paul,
that,
Paul, I know you got a meeting you got to get to and everything. And so before we let you go, tell everybody about your leather company and your leather goods, what you do, because people out there would be, I think, fascinated and very impressed by your leather goods. Tell people about the name of the company and how they can find it.
Yeah, thanks. Francis Edward is the name of my business, and we do custom exotic belts. They're actually belts from Italian calfskin, suede leather, crocodile, ostrich leg, all the way up to alligator. We do some cigar holders and some cash covers, and we're starting to do buckles this year as well, all milled right here in the great state of Texas. It's a good time. So Francis Edward, we're going to be at the PGA show at the end of this month, exhibiting again. We took a year off from exhibiting last year, but we're back in the saddle. And so for anybody going to be at the PGA show in Orlando at the end of the month, come on by booth 4052 and check us out. And maybe you'll win something. We'll give that stuff away too during show week.
Paul,
so come on,
we're gonna be there, so we'll have you on the show.
Yeah,
we're gonna be set up. We're gonna be set up all week there.
You have morning time?
10 to 12 we'll be in the morning time. Wednesday, yep. Thursday, and Friday outside of the main entrance. They'll be on the radio stage. We have the 10 to 12 slot every day. So come join us.
Deal. Well, I'm definitely coming by. You guys come find me too.
We'll do it.
Forget.
Looking forward to it.
We'll do it.
All right. Take care, Paul. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. And we'll see you in Orlando in a few weeks.
Sounds good, guys.
Take care, Paul.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. All right. No problem. Paul Stankowski, the winner of the 1997 Hawaiian Open. And so he knows all about playing at the Big Island.
I just blew it. I blew it. That's okay.
Don't let it linger. Frank.
I'm losing
it's okay.
I listened to Lou Holtz yesterday, and he just
don't forget your wife's name. You forget that, then you're really in trouble.
Who?
But forgetting a golf tournament is not the worst thing.
I'm married?
We'll be okay. Sorry. Shouldn't even have brought it up.
I wonder who these kids were that were wandering around.
We're going to take a quick break. Frank's going to recalibrate his brain.
Sorry.
He's going to reboot. Lost some circuits.
God,
and we're going to come back. We're going to hear Lord Rhina's interview with Gordon Goodwin, Grammy Award winner, and we'll talk a little bit of music, which we should, because this is a fusion of sports and music and golf and entertainment right here on Golf Talk America. So stick with us. We'll be back. This is Tim Matthews. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, along with Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. I'm coming to you from Dallas. Thanks to Paul Stankowski, just talking to us a few minutes ago about what his projections are and thoughts and hopes are. And the big hope, along with a lot of other people, is Tiger Woods having a successful, entertaining, fun 2017 season. I think a lot of people share that same thought of seeing Tiger out there again. It seems like it's been so long, but really looking forward to that. And again, we'll be at the PGA Tour merchandise show. He was talking about his Francis Edward, his company, the leather belts and different apparel that he makes out of leather. And he'll be at the merchandise show. We'll be there as well, as Frank was saying, just outside the main hall and set up from local time, 10 to noon. Is that correct, Frank?
Local 10 time,
o'clock
10 in
the morning
to noon.
Noon?
You're channeling your inner Frank now. My brain is reset after my Tucson, Las Vegas, craziness. It's not the PGA Tour merchandise show, but the PGA merchandise show.
PGA merchandise
PGA
show.
PGA merchandise show.
And
huge.
So it's coming up at the end
huge,
of this month. Coming
big.
Up about 3 weeks.
To channel
so, not too long.
To channel my inner Donald Trump, it's huge. It's big. Huge, big.
Huge, huge.
Yeah, so it's we're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of great guests from the long ball champions on the show to, of course, Paul's going to come on. Bobby Clampett's coming on again with us this year.
I think we got Dickie Pride.
Everybody's coming on. So we're going to have a lot of great players that'll be on.
Our good friend Brendan Sweeney,
Brendan Sweeney.
Us into New Year's Day, New Year's Eve for you, because Brendan, of course, affiliated with the French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana, has a big shindig every year at French Lick Resort for New Year's, and you were there, were you not, last week?
Big dinner, black tie event at the West Baden Springs Hotel, the Fire and Ice event, multi-course dinner, under the lights, gorgeous, Sarah Sturk's big band plays. Dancing until 1 a.m., 2 a.m., whatever it was. Bogey the Wonder Dog was there with us at the French Lick Resort, and he rang in the new year. We gave him a little taste of champagne, as midnight struck at French Lick. But they also, at the French Lick Hotel, they had the Something of the Gods, a big party there. We went to both. Yeah. And they have a trolley built in the 1800s that goes on a railroad track between the two hotels. So you have your cocktails, you're in your tuxedo and the fur coats, and you're on the trolley riding over to the other party. It was just a blast. French Lick, must see, must do, must go. Great partners of ours. Brendan Sweeney, of course, co-hosts with us, fills in a lot when I'm on the road and you can't be there. Yeah. Because me on the show by myself could be bad. It could be really bad.
Was there a lot of snow in French Lick?
None.
Was there any snow at all?
No snow.
None at all.
No
huh?
snow. There was some mist and rain coming through. I hate that because it's so beautiful. And we tweeted some things out, some pictures. Tweeted a picture from the trolley with the trolley master. And it was just, thank you, French Lick. You're fabulous.
Yeah.
The resort's fabulous. The Pete Dye course, the Donald Ross course, and the site in July this year of the Senior LPGA Championship presented by Old National Bank. The proceeds will be going to Raleigh's Hospital for Children. So
yeah.
It's going to be a great
tournament. That's the inaugural, is it
that's
not?
That's it. First one. Yeah, French
yeah.
Lick. Yeah.
Very, very cool.
During the holidays, we, of course, went back and forth with our friends at Azalea Hospitality, Azalea House, Marcus, Billy, Chris, Carrie Ann, Jack, Paul, everybody, the whole team, just getting ready for the Masters. So, you know, stay tuned because we'll be live at the Masters also this year. We'll be live at a lot of tournaments this year. It's going to be a...
Oh, yeah.
Traveling 2017, much like 2016, just on steroids. So there.
Can't wait. It's going to be such a great year. Really looking forward to it. And Brendan Sweeney, again, will be with us at the PGA Merchandise Show as well coming up. So we'll have a lot of fun. People that you're going to be there, just like Paul said, stop by and see us. You can't miss us. We'll be right there as everybody enters. And we'll have some prizes to give away.
We will.
We've got some neat things that we're going to be able to put into your little goodie bag or into your back pocket. So just stop by and see us. You'll see big signs everywhere, Golf Talk America, flashy neon lights, Frank's big smile. It'll be right there. You can't miss us, so it'll be fun.
We're going to give away a BMW i8 for a hole-in-one on the Golf Talk America set where we'll have no clubs,
right,
or balls, or green. So there.
There'll be no hole to actually hit the ball into.
No, but if you get a hole-in-one, yeah, we'll give you the i8.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those promos that actually leads nowhere. We just we build it up, and there's actually there's no payoff whatsoever.
No payoff whatsoever
for most of our content. But we do have stuff to give away. We're not lying about that.
We do.
Cool stuff.
Cool stuff.
Some passes to some tournaments. Yeah,
some cool Masters stuff maybe.
No,
yeah,
way.
Boy,
really?
Huh? Some French Lick stay and play package to go play the Pete Dye course at French Lick.
Can't wait.
Stay there a couple of days, so we've got a lot of goodies that we'll be giving away. And we're not going to give away belts, but we're going to show you some cool belts. So come see
those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Paul put on a little display right there. He's got his own booth set up, but we'll maybe have him bring a few over to our booth, kind of show us, and make sure he knows our waist size. He comes over with the belts.
You got that right.
They are very cool. I've seen a lot of them, and he's not kidding. I mean,
when
you say exotic, yeah, I mean, they're alligator, they're crocodile, they're python. I mean, you name the slithering animal that's out there.
Former,
he's made a belt out of it.
Slithering animals, former talk show host on PGA Tour Radio. We just skin them and make a belt out of us.
Make a belt out of it, yeah.
So it's a new year,
Matthews
Tim. This is
coming.
It. PGA Tour.com, where we live, podcasts. A new year. Happy New Year to our friend Mark Emmelman, host of On the Mark, and Happy New Year to John Swantek, host of Talk of the Tour. And Earl Forsey and the entire PGA Tour play-by-play team. Happy New Year to everybody. It's going
to
be a good one.
Should be
Happy
a lot
New
fun.
Year to our new commissioner.
Moynihan
takes over.
Just sworn in. He and Trump taking over almost the same time.
Oh,
what
boy.
A coincidence.
What?
So two new leaders.
Oh, boy.
I hope they get along because obviously Trump's big in the golf world too. So we'll see how that goes, but I'm sure it'll be fine. You know, we are the fusion of entertainment and sports and music and golf. And that means that we oftentimes will talk about some other things and get into especially a lot about music. Frank's a trained musician. I listen to music. So there's my training. And of course, Laura Brina, a great musician out in Los Angeles, is on our show quite often, and she does her own radio show and is very big with the troops and helping the troops any way she can, performing live or on her radio show as well. And anyway, she does a lot of different interviews. And a couple of weeks ago, we had Larry King on, the legendary Larry King, that Laura hooked up with and found. And so she's always out and about and has her microphone handy. And so we're going to listen to a little bit of an interview she did here with Gordon Goodwin. Gordon is a nationally known musician and has worked on a number of films and TV shows. As a matter of fact, he's won Emmys and Grammys for his music work. And Frank, you can go all the way from National Treasure, Remember the Titans, The Majestic, some great movies that he's worked on, Star Trek, and also your favorite, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
I love that movie.
He's worked on a lot of big programs. Just tomatoes. I like V8.
Zing zang.
And so Laura ran into him recently, so here's the interview. Laura Bryna talking with Grammy Award winner Gordon Goodwin.
Hey, everybody. I'm Laura Bryna for Golf Talk America, and this is That's America to Me, where we talk about things like the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. And today we've got a great interview with one of my fabulous friends. I like to call them my fabulous friends. And he is a 20-time Grammy nominee. He's got a couple Emmys and a couple Grammys. How do you even keep count? I don't even know. But he's a fabulous musician. He plays everything from the trombone, the saxophone, the piano. He's a composer, arranger. Oh, I don't know. We could keep on going. I am sitting here with Gordon Goodwin. How's it going?
Okay. Something happened, I think, on the internet or something. Somebody wrote that I played the trombone. And you are the I think, fourth person that has included that in an intro. Now, all due respect to my trombone-playing brethren, but in my skill sets, that's definitely not one of them. And it's so fascinating that it's kind of like a virus. You know? Matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start talking about you then telling people that you play the trombone. How do you like that?
You know what? I love that because I think the trombone is a fantastic instrument. So let's just lie and say that you do.
Actually, that is the truth. How are they going to know if I don't? Let's go with it. I'm an amazing trombone player, folks. Matter of fact, I have it right here. Let me get it out. Where did it go?
Well, you could do the...
See? That's a little more evidence, folks, that maybe you do have some experience with that instrument. In any event, I'm happy.
This is a golf show.
Thanks for having me here. And of the four items that you talked about that you focus on in your show, I can talk fluently on three of the four items. Can you guess which of the four topics that I have very little information on?
Well, I know you have a very low handicap in golf. Talk about it.
See, can we go back to the trombone?
We can.
Yeah, I can cover my golf acumen in two words, Johnny Mathis. And the reason I say the words Johnny Mathis is I used to conduct for him and spent about, well, I mean, we're still friends to this day, but I probably spent about 4 years conducting and writing arrangements and traveling with him. And he is completely fanatical about golfing. So when we would go to a town, oftentimes the gig would be booked contingent upon is there a course that he could play on while we were in that city, right? And wow. So, I'll never forget, I was in his office. I had just gotten a gig, and I was there kind of organizing the music for a tour or something, and he's got pictures of himself with presidents and celebrities and just everybody on the wall of his office, and I'm looking at one picture, you know, and he's on a golf course, and I go, so who are you with? And he looks at me, he goes, it's Jack Nicklaus. You know, like, you idiot. Did you really just ask me who? So, ladies and gentlemen, I have to confess I probably have less experience in that realm than many of your guests, but it was working with Mathis. I know I gained a little bit of appreciation for it, and he was... such a great, gentle and gentleman, you know. And for an artist of his caliber, he treated everybody with such generosity and impeccable musicianship. I didn't even really know how amazing he was. I mean, I knew he was a good singer, but I thought he was kind of like just a kind of a adult contemporary ballad singer. I didn't know that he knew Miles Davis. He knew Oscar Peterson. He was friends with all those guys, you know, and that jazz really informs kind of his whole thing. So we started to do like Duke Ellington medleys in this show once he knew that I was into that as well. So anyway, my apologies to all the golf aficionados that I won't be able to keep up.
Wait, I have to tell you something. I did a red carpet with Johnny Mathis, and he was so nice. And it was kind of one of those pinch you moments. Like, mm-hmm. You're like, oh. I'm yesterday next to Johnny Mathis. Oh my god. Like, legend. It was unbelievable. And is he that nice in person?
He really is. And I, like I said, I keep in touch with him. He's going to sing with my band at a gig coming up. I'm not even allowed to promote it.
Here it is.
I know, I can't even do it. Just because of the nature of his relationship with his agency and everything. But he loves to come out and sing with the big band, you know, and we'll do it whenever I ask. We did a Christmas record last year with the Count Basie Orchestra. And they called me and said, do you think Mathis would want to sing with us? Because he's never sung with the Basie band, ever. And so he showed up at Capitol Records and spent all day hanging with the guys, and I wrote a chart for him, and they shot video of it, and it was really, really great, you know, to kind of hook up those two iconic forces.
Oh, my God, yes, Count Basie. Oh my God, that's amazing. And being at the Capitol Records studios, so iconic, and so much history has gone on there, too.
You walk down those hallways, and you feel, you know, Sinatra, and Nat King Cole, and the Beach Boys, and all the artists that, you know, that recorded there, and it affects your performance too.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure.
You know, like you feel the legacy of that place and of the great music that was created there, and it kind of affects, you know, what you're doing. So it's a fantastic landmark.
So let's get back to how the dream really started. When did you know you wanted to be a musician?
How far back would you like to go?
How far back do you want to go?
Well, I think I realized in fourth grade that I it might be my thing, because I'd been taking piano lessons since I was maybe in kindergarten, but I didn't really take to it. It wasn't really something I liked. I did it because mom and dad said you have to do it, so I did it. But in fourth grade,
and you happened to be really great at it.
No, right? I was fine. I was average. You know, I wasn't that stimulated by it. Although I will say, my piano teacher saw that I liked to sit at the piano and kind of try things. Canoodle, yeah, exactly. Good word. And so she said, why don't you, next week, write a song, and then we'll work on it. And I said, well, I don't know. How do you do that? I mean, what does that even mean? She goes, ah. And so she gave me the left hand. She goes, here's the left hand part. You have the right hand. So I wrote some stupid thing, you know, and she goes, great. Now, next week, write a different song. Write like a march. I said, well, what's a march? She goes, you know, and she showed me the kind of the rhythm of it. So I wrote 8 bars. Not much, of a little march. And she goes, great. Now, next week, write a waltz. Well, what's that? She goes, it's in 3/4 time, and it goes like this. So she had me doing that, like, in first grade. Now, I wasn't a young Mozart by any means, but
now you are.
I was doing it. I was creating music of my own. You'll be okay with that?
We've got the blower outside. We're doing a radio show.
Do they use those things on golf courses too? So maybe we can pretend we're on the course. So anyway, in fourth grade, I learned how to play the theme song from the Batman show. Na 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 na. And I learned how to play it. And there was a piano in our classroom in fourth grade. So I sat down and was playing it. And everyone gathered around the piano. You know, everyone did. And so I thought, maybe this is my thing. No one else can do it. I can do it. You know, when you're a kid and you're trying to find out who you are. I knew I was a klutzy kid. I was a shy kid, you know, and so I maybe figured that maybe music is my ticket.
And that's what made you stand out. That was especially probably to the girls too.
Yeah, well, that took a few years of practice to make that work out, but that was certainly became my ticket, and I started playing saxophone a few years after that, and then trombone. Yeah. So then, and I started composing for big bands around eighth grade.
Oh, my eighth grade?
Yeah, and I had a band director who said, you know, you should try that. You should, matter of fact, he played me a Count Basie record. You should listen to this, see what you think, and it changed my life. Do you remember which one? I do, yeah. Yeah, it was a record called Basie Straight Ahead. Picture of Basie on the cover with a sailor hat on, and it was, the songs are written by a guy named Sammy Nestico, who's a famous arranger, who I call my friend today. So this is what's amazing. Somebody who influenced my life profoundly became somebody that I could call on the phone. I could call him right now and talk to him. That's amazing to me. You know, that's someone you looked up to, now your friend. Right, exactly right.
Wow. And why jazz? How did that happen?
You know, I will tell you this. When my band director played me that Count Basie record, it felt like deja vu. You know what I mean? It felt like, oh, I know this. I know what this is, you know? And so I can't explain why it resonated with me in a familiar way, but it did.
Yeah.
So I became a jazz, you know, snob, actually. I mean, I was so into it, and I hated everything else, you know? I hated pop music, I hated classical music, all the way through high school. Then I got into college, and when I was at college, they said to me, you know what, you are going to learn how to play classical, like Bach on the piano. You are going to study conducting and orchestration and counterpoint, and you're going to study music history, because that's what you need to do. And I was like, oh. So I had a kind of a fundamental shift, and my worldview opened up by studying Tchaikovsky and Debussy and, you know, Stravinsky, people like that. At the same time, I got a job playing in a band in a club at night. So I'm playing Stevie Wonder music and Earth, Wind & Fire and the Beatles and stuff like that at this club. So jazz became still my core, but then it was broadened out to, you know, a lot of other different styles, which I think is why my band, the Big Fat Band, kind of has that wide, stylistic, diverse thing.
Right, which I was just going to get to.
Oh, I opened the door for you.
So tell us about the Big Fat Band. It's such great music, and you guys really do have a wide range, and it really appeals to so many different people who love different styles of music, too. Plus, gives you that great throwback to big band.
Isn't that amazing, though? We've seen that happen where we, at our concerts, you'll have kids that are in high school or in middle school, the same age I was when I fell in love with it. You'll have their parents and they'll have their grandparents. Maybe.
So how cool is that, Tim? I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah.
What a great interview. And we've gotten into a little bit of it, but we'll get into more of it later on this week. That pretty interesting stuff that he was with Johnny Mathis and everybody else in the world. Wow.
Yeah, he's worked with an awful lot of people, and it's interesting, just not unlike athletes and golfers, you know, they get started in different ways. Some are phenomenally talented at a young age, Tiger Woods. Others, like he was saying about his music, you know, I was kind of like, you know, maybe not, and he kind of eased into it. Next thing you know, he's winning Grammys and Emmys and conducting music for Philharmonics, and it's a phenomenal career. So yeah, really, really interesting, and great job there by Laura.
Yeah,
talking to him.
I did like the
lawnmower too.
I did too. It gave the golf course theme. You know that I'm sure it was John Deere equipment because they are a partner of the PGA Tour.
Laura gave him the signal. They started mowing. It sounded perfect to me. I looked outside. Actually, I heard that before they talked about it. I looked outside. I go, is my guy out here mowing my? I'm like, I heard this lawnmower. I thought, well, why is the guy cutting my yard?
That's usually me. That's usually me on my end when the blower comes by and the dog goes absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And
Bogey starts barking.
Bogey the Wonder Dog is always in the studio with us. He's sound asleep. Obviously, his comment on the quality of the show today. So thanks, Bogey. Appreciate it.
That's America to Me, which is Laura's segment, and we'll be hearing from her on a regular basis here on Golf Talk America all year long, and she'll do a lot of different interviews, some of them with people that you're more familiar with, like Larry King last time, and also with a lot of military people, because that's a big – we all love that and here on Golf Talk America, but Laura really takes that to heart, so she does a lot of work and charity work and time on her own with the military and the military family. So we'll be hearing from some of them as well during the course of the year. So thanks, Laura. We do appreciate it. That was a lot of fun. We're about out of time, Frank. We didn't mention it, but we got a national championship game. Do you want to give a prediction here? Do you think Alabama is going to hang on, beat Clemson,
Let's
or you like
see.
Clemson?
Alabama and Clemson. Alabama. Forget about it.
They're going with Alabama?
Forget about it.
I hope it's a good game is all I hope, because I thought Ohio State had something, and Clemson just embarrassed them.
The best game, USC Penn State.
Oh, that was a great game.
You know how I feel about James Franklin and what he did to Vanderbilt here in Nashville.
Yeah.
So couldn't happen to a better guy. I just love that USC win over Penn State. Thank you, James Franklin.
Oh, wow. It was dramatic. Last second field goal for USC. Yeah.
It was a great game.
So that was the best bowl game. A lot of them have kind of been, you know, who cares. But that was a phenomenal bowl game. So one last game. It'll be Monday night, and we'll see what happens in that one. Playoffs coming up, too, in the NFL. And get started this weekend. Cowboys top seed in the NFC. Yes, let's hear about the Cowboys. So they have the week off. But it could
my
be
team
anxious.
Now.
I could be down in at the end of the, I guess, the beginning of February. I could be in Houston for the Super Bowl.
We will
the
Cowboys
be. Make it.
I'll be in Houston
we'll
with Azalea. The Azalea guys will be at the Super Bowl. So you need to come down. If Dallas is there, you got to come down for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there for sure.
So Golf Talk America will be broadcasting from the Super Bowl. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Should
pretty
be
cool
fun.
Stuff,
yeah, yeah, we have a great season headed your way. So thanks for being with us. We do appreciate it. And don't forget that the SBS Tournament Champions get started on Thursday. It'll be a little bit later. You know, they're on the, when I was going to say the West Coast. They're west of the West Coast. They're in the islands. So you can watch it on Golf Channel and all the coverage, but won't get started till most of the mainland, middle of the afternoon or late afternoon. So should be great. We're looking forward to it. Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, all the big boys will be there. For Frank Bassett, Laura Bryna, Gordon Goodwin, Paul Stankowski, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time right here on Golf Talk America.